Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Matthew Spencer, and I'd like to thank you for listening into our weekly message at Christ Church International. We are a gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus, souls from every nation, one at a time. We love Jesus, we love the Bible, and we love people. Since 1981, we have been sharing the good news of Jesus, and now we're thrilled to be at our new location in downtown Longmont, Colorado, at 527 Main Street. Our key verse for this year is 1 Chronicles 11:9. David's stride became longer, his embrace larger, yes, God of the angel armies was with him. Also, the Lord prophetically spoke to us the first Sunday of the year, saying, "Listen to me, yield to me, take my hand and walk with me, and 2016 will be the year of greater achievements." And now, here is today's message. I think Mom already kind of introduced Peter. She forgot the title, Uncle. Because you have to say Uncle before Peter. It has to happen.
Yeah.
It's avuncular.
So we are going to receive from Peter today. Can I pray?
I don't know. Can you?
I hope so.
Give it a shot.
Okay. All right, Father, we thank you right now for Peter. We thank you, Lord. We're going to receive what you have imparted to him, Lord, what you've put in him. Lord, we're going to put an expectation on the anointing that's on him. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak to us through him. Even things he's not prepared to say, we ask that you would draw them out, Lord, through our faith. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, little brother.
Good morning. It is a good morning. If you have your Bible, as we're kind of starting out here, if you have your Bible, if you turn to the book of Hebrews. Trying something different today. It's really, really wonderful to be here again with my family. This is the place where I come to get reinvigorated with you all. And over the last year, I've had some interesting health stuff going on and need invigorating. And so you guys have your prayers and your support has been great. It's awesome. So today, what I want to talk about a little bit is the Bible, God, kind of stuff. No. Let me ask you, first of all, anybody, let's say good morning. Anybody here say good morning other than good morning? Like, morgen? Dao ein? Okay, anything else? Buenos dias?
Namaste.
Namaste? Anything else? I was talking to you know, Major Josh's new bride. Major Josh, he's still a goof to me. I'm sorry. He just kick you in the knee. What a wonderful addition to the family, right? Yay! But she goes, yeah, you live in California, don't you? I go, yeah. She goes, yeah, I haven't been called dude since I've been out here. So, you know, there's dude, are you on the 405? Yeah. Awesome. And what those things are is, it's what? It's language, right? It's different language of different people saying different things to different people in different ways that are perceived in different ways, understood, not understood. The book of Hebrews is really, really an interesting book because it was written, it's Pauline in nature, and what I mean by that is people who read it kind of go, well, it had to be Paul that wrote it because look at how he wrote, look at the style he wrote in. And then other scholars say, no, it absolutely wasn't Paul, it was Apollos, it was this guy, it was that guy. But my point with that is, it fits right along with all the rest of what Paul, how Paul explained the New Testament to us, how Paul explained Christianity to us. But interesting is that it was written to Hebrews, which, you know, is an often awesome name for a coffee shop. Anyway, written to Hebrews. Now, what are Hebrews? You know, some people look at the Old Testament as like interference with the Bible. You know, okay, got it. I want that New Testament stuff, that stuff that's really good, that applies to me, that builds me up, that strengthens me, that I want to know more about. And that's all good. But it's the second half. You know, it'd be like, I understand you guys recently had some kind of football match in this state. Something about a horse and a leather ball or something. Yes. See, I wasn't allowed I have to wear this dorky, you know, Mr. Rogers sweatshirt. I'm allowed, the Reverend wouldn't let me wear a Broncos sweatshirt, so it's like, you know, no. I'm kidding.
You'd be in trouble.
Yeah. Pretty much, that's why I'm here.
I'll clean up next week.
Yeah. Preach whatever you want, I'm preaching holiness. All right. Here's the deal, here's where I'm going with that. He was talking to Hebrews. And sometimes we look at Hebrews like, you know, completely, Hebrews, Old Testament, completely irrelevant to where I am as a Christian, who I am as in walking Christ, etc., because I'm a new creation, I'm this and I'm that. Not realizing that we have been grafted in, we're inherited into what Hebrews was all talking about. If you go back, all the way back to a little bit of summary, creation, where God puts this whole thing together. And he said, this is really, really good. And the crown of that creation is this mankind who he partners with and who he has relationship with and who he, as God, who reigns and rules, gives that reign and rule over to the crown of his creation, that man, and then man and woman as an expression of who he is. And it wasn't about the central figure of the universe that you're in the center, you're now in the center of the universe, was not a picture of man, but was a picture of this God. Yeah. It was a picture of God the King, yeah. God who reigned and God who ruled, God whose excellence was beyond all creation, and yet he created this creation as an expression of his goodness to share with the one he loved so passionately, the crown of his creation, us. So then we go on. We see one of the first things that humans did successfully was give God the finger. No. I am now the center of the universe. I am now the decider. I am the one who figures it out. And it all relates to the paradigm is no longer with you being king, but it's with me. Now, there's temptation going on and stuff like that, but basically what happened is this whole thing gets subverted, and men who were men in creation, men and women, who were to love God with all their hearts, suddenly had their hearts darkened with a love of this new thing called darkness. And that darkness created such a perversion and such an inhumanity of what God created us to be, that it's spread across all of creation itself. And so God said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to produce and make this all aright. Some people, you know, you call it a rescue mission, some people call it a redemption, but basically then he said, okay, I am going to reestablish my throne as king on the earth. And so he started picking people out, and basically those people were chosen because of God's goodness, not because of anything they had done. And he came to them and said, I'm offering you to be my light on this planet. to be my outpost, to be the beachhead of the return of my reign and rule on this planet that's been so run over and so beaten down by sin and darkness. Would you like to play?" And their response was, "I'm in." Abraham said, "I believe it. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah." And from there it goes on, and a nation is birthed out of Israel, and Israel comes out, and they have a history. They have they are purchased as a people out of sin, out of bondage, out of Egypt, a physical place at a physical point in time. They're brought through the Red Sea and saved to go, if you remember from your Sunday school lessons from way back when, they're saved to go on and become the people of God who would become, just like Matthew was talking about, God is going to pour his spirit out on all flesh. There would become that vessel that God would blow out his grace on the whole earth. Through these people, his kingship would reign and would expand and would spread across the earth. And there would be advances, retreats as along the way, but we all know the story. So as we go along, this people, these Hebrews, they knew that they were, through Torah, through Scripture, through the laws of God that were given to them, that they were special to be an expression of his grace and his mercy and his reign and his rule and his authority on the earth. And then they hit the bump in the road where they all started saying, "You know, this is pretty good being God's people. We really are that. We really are all that." And they started subjugating that righteousness that they were supposed to walk in, and loving darkness again, but now with this odd admixture of being God's people and yet walking in darkness, being reigned over by God primarily, but having a lot of darkness reigning over them and taking advantage of the nations that they were to serve and disobeying God's word and coming back going, "Oh, no, King's X, we..." And finally, the weight of their love and their respect for the king, for God the king, was outweighed by their love of this darkness. And God said, "Everybody out of the pool." And he brought prophets that said, "There is a God who's a creator. And there is a God who is king. And you were sent to speak for him. And you withheld that word. And in place of that word, you used it for your own profit. You used it for your own good. You used it for your own aggrandizement. And now your kingdom is no more." He came to them and said, "I wanted to be your king, but you demanded to be like the rest of the world and have a king. Yeah. And this is what you got." They started out in a pinnacle with a pinnacle of a king that came along, King David, and he brought their empire, the pinnacle of the nation. And after that, it went downhill. Because once again, they said, "Yes, we're all that." And the balance of loving darkness outweighed their honor and praise and glory to the true king, the invisible God. So that brings us to the New Testament in this verse. And I'm going to, I didn't bring it along. I wrote this little here electronical device here. What do you do with this? How do you shave? What? No. I didn't bring my New American Standard, but I love the beginning of Hebrews in the New American Standard because it says, the New American Standard, Hebrews 1, verse 1, says, "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways." I love the way New American Standard starts and just says, "God." Now, as we believers in Jesus read these things, our paradigm is such that we take this for granted. We look at it and we go, okay, I understand that. Yeah, God, right? The whole thing. But in this current society that we live in, when you go around and you just go out and you say, God, the society has the knowledge of God and who he is has so waned that there's, you could fill in an encyclopedia if you walk down the street and you just went, God, and you kind of asked people, what does that mean? You could fill an encyclopedia with different pictures of what this God is. So that we have to understand as believers, as we get together here, we come together because out there is a very tough place. You know, out there, where we work, how we interact with people, we know we come in here for relief. And we expect from God to be that fount of blessing. We come in here going, oh yeah, okay. Hey Lord, could you do something about the spear? It hurts. You know, we come in from the work week going, Lord, could you, this arrow that I have through my head that's gone straight through, could you, oh, you know, this crushed spirit that I have from being out there. Some of you know I pastored in Germany, and the church that, the church where I was at, I just zufällig, accidentally, thank you, heard that in the area there was a horrible train crash. And I immediately, I looked around, started reading, and I found out that on YouTube there was someone in the train in this German area. And I'd been hundreds of times on that train. I knew exactly where it was. But as I looked at it, someone on that train had taken pictures in the train crash. To hear their cries. Sorry. To hear their cries, isn't that wonderful? Okay, like in that wonderful Bavarian accent that I picked up and I love so much. Hurts. And you're like, well, who's this guy? You know, I've been in train wrecks. I was a cop. You know, crying out loud, walking through, going, oh, there's a leg, you know. And yet, to see that. So it hurts. So we come in here and we come to the fount of many blessings. We come to the one who loves us. And yet there are so many people out there. And they have no idea. When you say God, they go, yeah, God. I'm spiritual. God's a spirit. He's somewhere. God spoke. God spoke. And again, when we go out into the world, we go out as representatives of the kingdom of God, representatives of his reign and his rule and his love. And you say God speaks, and it's so wonderful to see the generation and that how things have kind of degenerated, where
when you say God speaks, you know, God spoke, and they look at you like, you know, okay, you're obviously crazy. And yet for us, that's such a norm. Because we know that this God cares for us so intently and loves us so intimately and so corporately all together and wants to help us. And yet, as we take those words, God spoke, and we speak to our friends in the around us who have no idea that there's a God who's so loving and so concerned and who's king. Sorry, blew out the mic. Who is king and who longs for us to return to friendship with him, but also to that safe place of being reigned and ruled over by him. They have no clue that that's who that God could be. This God is now a new Gnostic God, a God who is, you know, everything we see around us is bad. Matter is evil. Guns are bad because their molecular structure is such that they are inherently evil. You know, cars are bad because they obviously do all these bad things. And all we need to do is find this inner knowledge of the inner Christ and this good spark of life that will fill us. That's the closest they come to a good news. And these people are stunned and amazed when other people do horrific things to other people that are absolutely, positively inhumane. And they cry out, we need more control over us. Or we who are perfect beings, we who are wonderful people, just need more teaching. And what they don't come to is the realization, and we pray for that this will happen, that when God speaks, they stand up and go, there's a king, and he is God, and we hate him. And we love darkness. We love the darkness. And then, subsequently, the point and pinnacle of their lives when they go, why do I love darkness so much? That's the point and pinnacle where we as Christians, as believers, come in and go, let me show you why. Sometimes I talk to people we talk to unbelievers and we say, hey, God spoke. And they go, that's interesting, what did he say? Well, my answer to that is, what did you ask? What did you tell him? I told him I was angry. Okay. I told him I was angry at him. He can handle that. Yeah. I asked him if he exists. I called him an SOB. I could have said this, I said that. So my point with that is, we're telling our friends and neighbors that God speaks, but we also have to ask them, what would you ask him? Where are you? Because some of them will come and say, why do I love darkness so much? It's it's a mark of the Holy Spirit's life on people when they can ask the questions, the birthing questions of repentance, to say, why do I love darkness so much? Why are we so evil? Because that's not something that comes out of a fallen brain. That's not something that those words don't naturally come out of a heart that's in rebellion against God. It wants to say, no, I'm Lord. I'm the barometer. I'm the measure. So with all that, what I just wanted to relate today was this church, your family, you as an individual, you are so beloved by God. You are so cared for individually by God. Jesus Christ came and took all of the sin that was upon you, just as we sang, and he relieved you of that debt. He relieved you of that debt so that you no longer have to bear that. And then he recruited you into his kingdom. And what that means is to live under his reign and under his rule. And what that ultimately means is your life every day is just an expression of God speaking to the world. Some of you know how to say Buenos dias. You're going to say to those people God's word in that language. And in whatever language you said good morning to. Some of you understand, dude, what's this God thing? Well, he did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. What? Let's go from there. You are an individual expression of his reign and his rule wherever you are, bringing his love, his compassion, and his righteousness. To the people who are angry at God or come blow by you, don't worry about it. Let them blow by you. Find the broken heart. Find the heart that has been run over by the darkness and the love of darkness in the world so much that now it's crying and going, I need help. And these are the people that are going to come into the kingdom of God under the reign and rule of God and simply say, okay, you're in charge. You're it. So here's the kicker. Here's the wonderful thing about all this. Hebrews chapter 1 says God, after, you know, I'll go back to the ESV. Long ago and many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, talking about the Hebrews again. But in these last days, he has spoke by his son, whom he appointed. And now in these finally last days, he speaks through you. We who are broken and stupid and ineloquent and sometimes put our feet right, you know, us. And he goes, yep, you're the ones I've anointed. You're the ones that I've put out there to say, hey, there's a God who reigns and rules. And it's going on. People are dying for that. There'll be pushback. In the United States, in the Western world, there's more and more pushback about that. Because, see, spirituality, Gnosticism says, worship's okay. You can worship whatever you want. Just leave it in that little temple you go to. And when you come out here, live according to the way we live. Those are the rules. Now, if that whole worshipy thing gets out of line and it starts interfering with the way we think, well, there's a flag on the play, you know. We'll have none of that. So be ready for that. Be cheerful. You know. Look at him going, okay. Gotcha. What would you like? What would you like me to say to you? Well, you know, can't say this or that. Okay. God's going to give you, at that point, a point in time, the exact word to say or the exact deed to do. And because you cannot stop the kingdom of God, it's going to detonate right in that room. We finally got it. You know. When the Egyptian Christians were martyred by their persecutors, said, look, just join the caliphate. You don't even have to join the caliphate. Just pay the tax. And just renounce this Jesus. Just say, you know, Jesus is now. What's the difference? It's a religion. What's the difference? It's a religion. I love it when people criticize our love of sports here in the United States. Well, I got news for you. That's worldwide. You got this thing called rugby. Don't understand. It's like, you know, people run up. Rugby's great, you know. Hey, there he goes. Boom, oh, he's bleeding. Well, thanks, Bob. There you go. I don't know. But then you got baseball, you know. That's right, Bob. There he goes. Oh, look, he's scratching. Let's avert the cameras. Or football, you know. We call it soccer, you know. Hey, 3.5 hours, 1 point. Yeah, yeah, right. Ah, but Deutschland hat die vierte Weltcup gewonnen, huh? Germany won the fourth World Cup. Yeah, I love it when people, you know, start getting high horsey and going, you know, oh, this American religion, this American football is your religion. Ah, it's your religion. Ah. It's like, dude, what do you do for fun? Go to the library and watch dust land on books? You know, come on. This is life. This is fun. Someone came to me and said, renounce the NFL. I go, yeah, I hate Roger Goodell. You know? Yeah, I don't like the Patriots. Yeah, I'll renounce that. Renounce rugby. I can't even spell it, you know? Are you G-B-I something? Yeah, oh. But yeah, you don't know what a religion is. Renounce Jesus. Renounce Jesus. Right. Yeah. The King of the universe. King of the universe. The one who holds your breath in his hand. Yeah. The one by whom your molecular structure is consisting. Yeah. That one. Right. Yeah, really? No, seriously, what do you want me to do? You know, Lazarus, I'm getting off track, but I was just thinking about this the other day, Lazarus, you know, when he goes into the, Jesus, the one you love, the brother of Mary, is sick, and Jesus is like slow rolling it. You know, I think Jesus worked for the government. He kind of slow rolled that. Yes, sir, we'll get that study to you right away. Hang on. As one works for the government, I know. He's like, we'll go in a couple days. And then the sickness is, remember the whole story, the sickness is, you know, not to death, but it is to death, and he's dead. And then, okay, now let's go. Now he's dead. And the boys look at Jesus and go, hey, we can't go there. You know, he's 3 days. He's already, the decay has already started. It already stinks. Going on many calls and having people do themselves in their apartments, you know that smell. You know, you get right to the door and you go, oh boy. Well, Lazarus didn't not stink. He indeed stunk. Decay had taken its effect. His molecular structure was breaking down. The bacteria were reacting. The body was being bloated. All this was happening. And the father just went rewind. Okay, let's reconstruct those cells. Okay, let's re-energize that mitochondria. Let's bring this back. Let's put this, now let's breathe life back into these lungs. That happened.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
That was time and space. And so that was that kingdom reign and rule come back to earth again, just like we're talking about the brother who, you know, seeing people raised from the dead. Well, the father does that. So this is not a religion where we are. What we're doing. This is not a religion. It is a kingdom. As I mentioned yesterday, the early Christians didn't get in trouble because they had this goofy religion. This guy who was dead and he was alive, you know, whatever. Okay. No. They got in trouble because they said this guy who was dead and is alive is the king.
He's the king.
And we ally ourselves with him.
Yeah.
Peace and safety doesn't come from the Roman Empire. It comes from him. Peace and safety doesn't come from, you know, God bless the United States. I pray for my country. It doesn't come from them. Peace and safety doesn't come from the Bundeskanzler. It doesn't come from the El Presidente. It doesn't come from any. Peace and safety comes from him. And there's a peace and safety that's never going to end as we express that kingdom, that reign and rule on him. Will we have down days? Will we have setbacks? Yes.
But the kingdom will not. It continues to roar on, continues to roar forth. So that every generation now, the new generation, comes up, and in a way they take it from us, but in another way they get it all revealed all anew and all afresh. So take that. One of the hardest parables to explain is the parable of, and especially hits, I think, us in Western culture and in America hardest, the parable of the servants going out and working in the harvest. And Jesus told the parable and said there was a guy who had a vineyard, and he sent out early in the day, he sent out guys to work, and then middle of the day, he sent out guys to work in the vineyard, and the end of the day, sent out guys to vineyard, and their guys ended up working 2 hours. And they all gathered together, and they said, woohoo, pay time. And so the guys got paid who worked 2 hours, and they got a full day's wage. And they're like, you're golden. All right. The guys that, this is the Pete paraphrase, you can, complain to the management. Don't invite him back. He doesn't know the Bible. What are you talking about? In the middle of the day, they come up and they go, okay, here you go, full day's wage. The guys who worked full day went, all right, I'm ready. I work for the government. I know how this works. Time and a half. Hand it over. And he went, excellent, here you go, full day's wage. Wait, that's one day's wage. This is not time and a half. I'm a union vineyard worker. You don't understand. I have my rights, I have my this, and I have my that. And his response was simply, hey, I'm king. I made the rules. And that grates us so bad. We bend over backwards and tie ourselves into knots with that explaining it.
Well, Jesus obviously meant that later they would receive the further recompense and the $1.50 plus the tax. And no.
His answer was, I'm the king. Mm-hmm. So, life sucks and then you die. Goodbye. Okay, amen. But turn that on its head for a minute. Wait a second. I'm the guy working full time and been working in the field for 40 years. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to enjoy it. I work for the king. This is my work for the king, and then I got to die. Okay, bring it. I want every promise. I want every bit. And you know what? He's such an employer. He's such a king. He's like, yeah, I take care of my guys. No, I take care of my guys. Did you learn? No, I take care of my guys. My guys get this, and then he rests. My guys get that, and then I rest. I take care of them. And loyal to that king. And whatever he wants to pay me is fine with me, as long as I get to stand next to him and go, yep. I'm with him. He hired me. That's great. He hired you. Yes, we're along for the ride, and the ride is good. The journey is good. God is speaking. He's speaking to a world that is illiterate of what he is really like. He's speaking to a world that loves darkness. He's speaking to a world that craves more darkness. And yet there are those brokenhearted who are coming and popping up. They're going to pop up more and more and say, where's their help? Yep. And we're the ones going, here it is. Not here to condemn you, here to give you what you don't have. Because he's filled my pockets to give it to you. And that's where we are. Father, thank you for this time together, and I thank you for this precious, precious congregation, and I thank you for the leadership of this fellowship that has always been supportive and there for my family and me. And I just pray that you have placed us in this fellowship at this place as such for such a time as this. And I ask you, Spirit of God, that you will pour that out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for the hurting that have, for the hearts that are hurting, Holy Spirit, that you'll minister to them now and as we fellowship. Holy Spirit, come with your balm and infill your church with healing and with the tenderness of the shepherd's touch. Father, I pray for minds that are confused. That you'll open thought to the simplicity of the reception of your love. Father, I pray for bodies that are laboring under burdens and the weight of disease and sickness, Lord, for your healing and for your reconstruction. Pray for that to go forth. Father, for spirits that are in rebellion against your kingship, Lord, that you'll shepherd them into your, that you'll convince them that you're their good shepherd and there's no better life than living under your reign and rule. And Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you that in the middle of Longmont, in the middle of Boulder County, in the middle of a spreading misunderstanding and love of darkness and ignorance of light, that this church, that this fellowship will continue to increase, that the light of Christ will continue to increase, that the epicenter of the seismic event that is the outpouring of your Spirit and bringing lost souls back into your reign and rule, that will multiply. Not for the sake of any man, but for the sake of your grace, for the sake of your poured out blood. I just want to take a minute, and what we're going to do is practice the Christian exercise of just being still before Him. And the purpose of this exercise is just as we worshiped and exalted in His name with music and with singing, and we enjoyed His presence through the sharing of His Word, and we enjoyed His presence through the sharing of the communion meal together. Now we as people would just be in His presence. And so we want to dedicate just a minute or so to just quietly being before Him as His people. Lord, there's no other place we'd want to be than just to be by your side. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that the language of the kingdom of God would be spoken on the streets of Longmont and Boulder through these people. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you for these things, Father, and we ask them in the name of the Lord Jesus and King Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's weekly message. We declare that the things that God said he would do, now he is doing it. If you are ever in the Longmont area, we would love for you to join us for our Sunday gathering. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in the heart of Longmont's Creative District in downtown. The address is 527 Main Street. That's near the intersection of 6th Avenue and Highway 287, which is Main Street in downtown Longmont. Are you on Facebook? Connect with us. Our page is facebook.com/Christ Church International. Our website is www.christchurchinternational.org. Our email is contact@innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado 80502. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you soon.